Rachel. You may have seen on the weekly update, if you get that, that there is a St. Peter's Church will be open on Tuesday morning for anyone between 11 and 1 for anyone who wants to just spend some time in quiet reflection in memory of the Queen. So you can do that if you're available on Tuesday morning, any time between 11 and 1. Returning to God's Word, and you should have a handout, Means of Grace 2, Hearing God Speak, as always, do have that in front of you. I think you've got a Bible reading on the back of the notice sheet, and you should also have this sheet, which we'll come back to in a little bit. And now might be a good time just to, if you haven't got a pen, you'll need one later, so give us a wave and Janet or Don will bring you one. Fabulous, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of hearing you speak. And we pray that you would excite us evermore by that great privilege now. Amen. Well, put up your hand if you know the true story of Jesus turning water into wine. Anyone know that story? Anyone brave enough to tell us in about 30 seconds or less what happens in that true story? Chris is brave enough. Go on then, Chris. Fabulous. Thank you. And you can read about that in John's Gospel, chapter 2. And that true story introduces us to the idea of the means of grace. So we've just started a new series looking at the means of grace, and this is week 2. And if you don't know what I mean by means of grace, don't worry, because I haven't said yet. But in week 1, last week, we thought about the Christian life. And we saw that Christians are on a journey. And with any journey, you need to know what the destination is before you decide on how to travel. And I can't remind us of everything that I said last week, so if you weren't here, I would encourage you to listen to the sermon on our website. But the means of grace are basically what God gives us for the journey. Who's been somewhere exciting this summer on holiday? I know Catherine and George have. Great to have you back. One or two others. Last week we thought about going on holiday. We said if we're going on holiday, if that's our destination, we need certain things for the journey. So for example, we need fuel, we need food, we need a map or sat-nav, and so on. And the means of grace are the things God gives us for the Christian journey. But actually, he gives us much more than food and petrol. We saw last week that what God's doing is drawing us into his life. That's what heaven, our destination, is. It's being taken up into enjoying God's life of love. And so what God gives us now is himself. Said lots of times that grace is God giving himself to us. So the means of grace are the ways on the journey that God gives himself to us, that he draws us into his life. So when I say means of grace, I want you to think relationship with God. And on the handout, I've listed some of the examples that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. So Bible reading, prayer, meeting with God's people on Sunday and other times, baptism, communion. Those are just some of the means of grace. Now you might think, what's this got to do with Jesus turning water into wine? Well, as we read the Bible, as we pray, as we use one of these means of grace, we're like the servants in the story. Remember the servants Chris mentioned? They fill the jars with water. And that's kind of what we're doing. As we read the Bible, as we pray, as we come to church, we're filling jars with water. But those things in themselves are just human activities. But God, in his grace, in his love, chooses to turn the water into wine. He takes our Bible reading, he takes our going to church, and he works through them by his Holy Spirit. So, for example, he shows us something about himself. He shows us his love. He changes us to be more like him. He draws us into his life of love. He makes them alive. He turns them into wine. He doesn't always do it. Sometimes we read the Bible and it's just a book. Sometimes we come to church and we don't feel anything, but we keep putting ourselves in a position where God can minister to us. We say, Father, please reveal yourself to me today. Please show me Jesus in the power of your Spirit. And then we read the Bible or we come to church or whatever it is. Here's another image to help us think about it. It's like a river of grace. God giving himself, flowing past us like the Humber. And when we use the means of grace, when we read the Bible, when we pray, when we go to church, it's like we get into the river. I wouldn't recommend getting into the Humber, but you get the idea. We put ourselves in the way of God's grace, and we trust him to give us what we need. So that's the means of grace, what God gives us, God giving us himself on the journey to the destination of sharing in his life of love. So there are some questions on the front page of the handout. And I'd like us, like last week, just to get into, no, was it last week? A few weeks ago. Just to get into little groups, maybe a family group, or if you're on your own, link up with someone else. And just for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, have a chat about the three questions at the bottom of the first page of the handout. If you weren't here last week, then don't spend too long on the first question. You can listen to the talk on the website and then answer it. Just take 3 or 4 minutes in little groups to think about those questions together. Great. Are we ready to move on? Do carry on those conversations later if you'd like to, over pasta or whatever it is. But we're just going to, for a few minutes, we're going to move on to think about our first means of grace, which is Bible reading. And I'm not going to say very much, because I'm going to get you to get back into your groups in just a moment. But let me start with some words from Jonathan Edwards, the thinker from 250 years ago that we introduced last week. So he said this: the chief of the means of grace is the Word of God, that standing revelation of the mind and will of God that he gives the world. What's he saying? He's saying that God's word, the Bible, is the most important of all the different ways that God reveals himself to us and opens himself up to us. Because it's supremely in the Bible that we know God's mind, what he thinks and loves and desires. So think about your friends at school, or think about a good friend or a spouse. To really get to know them, you need to listen to them, what they love, what they desire. And it's the same with God. We need to listen to God to grow in our relationship with him. And we're going to see this from Psalm 119. So you should have this sheet, big A4 sheet. And for those who've gone back to school, I hope this isn't going to feel too much like going back to school. I hope it's going to be a wonderful experience. You'll see that there are some there are some questions on the right-hand side in the box. So going through the psalm, how is the Bible described? So for example, your words in verse 9. What does the writer do with God's word, the Bible? So for example, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart. That's one example. How does the writer respond to God? So verse 12, for example, praise be to you, Lord. Now, I photocopied it before. I was going to put in different, you know, squiggles and things or underlinings before I photocopied it, but I forgot to. So we need to decide our code now. It doesn't really matter, but so we've got underlining for how is the Bible described. Does that sound good? And I'll tell you what we did this morning, and then you can tell me if you're happy with this. So a circle around what does the writer do with God's word, the Bible, and a square, you can see the difference, around how does the writer respond to God. Does that sound okay? If you want to do your own key, that's fine, obviously. Do a little squiggle or something. And then is there anything else you notice? So shall I read it out, or shall I leave you to get on with it? Shall I read it out? Chris is nodding his head. I'll read it out, but then I'll leave you to get on with it. So here we go. Help me to think as I do. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Great. Let's get back into those groups and spend a few minutes working out the answers to those things. I hope that was helpful. So he describes God's word in lots of different ways, your word, your commands, your decrees, your statutes. What does the writer do with God's word? Just shout out a few things. Sorry? Lives according to it, brilliant. Meditates on it, yeah, great. Hides it in his heart, keeps it, recounts it, rejoices in it, delights in it, counseled by it. Brilliant. And, excuse me, how does the writer respond to God? Seeks God, yeah. Rejoices. Praises. Thank you, verse 12. Speaks not to sin, delights. And he prays, doesn't he? So verse 17, 18, 19. But the striking thing is, and Rachel got this right at the start, the striking thing is that the way he relates to God's word is the way he relates to God. So it's as if the two go together. True, isn't it? That's how we relate to God, is through his word, just as I relate to you through your words, you relate to me through my words. the same with God. Great. So, what have we seen? The writer of the psalm wants to relate to God. He does it by listening to God's word, the Bible. And his response to the Bible is his response to God. He loves God, and therefore he loves God's word, because God is relating to him through it. Just thinking back to what we saw last week about our destination, heaven. Someone's written that in the Bible we learn heaven's language, so we can hear about God everywhere we look. And this gives us great strength for life now as well, and wisdom for life now. So I mentioned that book about the Queen earlier. I was rereading that this week. And in her Christmas address in 2002, she said this. I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel. And we all know the good times and the bad times the Queen went through, but she drew her strength from the hope held out in the Christian gospel. So, a few quick images or ways of thinking about the Bible. It's part of a conversation with our Father. It's a love letter from God to his beloved people. It's a map for life. It's a torch or a lamp. That's another image in Psalm 119. Sure we can think of others as well. How can the Bible have this effect on us, just as we close? How can we put out the jars of water and ask God to turn them into wine? How can we get in the river of grace so God can cover us? Well, by reading the Bible. So taking each time each day to read a part of the Bible for ourselves, maybe a psalm, or using some Bible reading notes. If you don't know what to use, there's a page on the website that gives some ideas, or just ask a friend what they do. And you can do that whether you're 7 or 70. There are lots of great notes for young people as well and children. Do ask someone else for ideas. If you live in a family, take time at mealtime to read part of the Bible or a Christian book and talk about it together. You don't have to have a PhD parents to be able to do that. You just open the Bible and talk about it. And join a small group, a life group or WOW or Ablaze. They're all restarting this week, praise God. Join one of those. And meet with God's people on a Sunday to hear him speaking, but you don't need me to tell you that because you're here, which is great. And combine each of those with prayer. Father, please speak to me in the power of your Holy Spirit through the Bible. Pray together. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it. And we pray that you'd help us, each of us, and as families and as a church family, to take every opportunity to get in the way of your grace, to get in the way of your word, and to hear you speak to us and to love you more as a result. Amen.